You know, I'm glad for us. We don't have to. We can look straight to the sun, S-O-N. Run straight towards Him. And that's where you're going to find your help. But Philippians chapter number 4, I'm going to ask you to stand for the reading of the Word of God. I hope the Lord will help us tonight. I believe He will. I sense He will. But you just pray that I'll give it the way God wants it. He's helped me with it. But the reason Lord, I believe, has really confirmed this, because since we've been going through this and in the messages, I've been reading in Philippians, kind of doing my devotions and in Philippians and doing some studying and just what preacher was talking about, looking up finding out how many times joy is mentioned, how many times gladness and rejoicing and all through the word, all through the book of Philippians, it talks about the mind. And I'd circle the word mind, or an understanding or knowledge, anything dealing with the mind. And I've just been finding out how many times these words has been used. And as I was studying just last day or two, this and it's the last chapter in this book, and Philippians is my favorite book, probably in all of the Bible. I mean, there's many a time that I had to run to Philippians just to be reminded where my joy is, be reminded where peace comes from. And we're going to kind of deal with the peace of God here just a little bit tonight. But in verse number 6, Philippians chapter number 4, verse number 6, it says, "Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. Those things which ye have both learned and received and heard and seen in me do, and the God of peace shall be with you." Thank you. May be seated. Pray with us one more time. Father, as we come to you in prayer, I want to thank you, Lord, for your Son Jesus. Lord, I want to thank you for the help I believe has been given, if not just for the people out there, it's been given to my heart again tonight. Lord, I thank you for what you're doing in my heart, and what you've been doing in my heart and in my family, what you're doing in the church, what you're doing in our pastor. And Lord, we want to pray once again for Brother Barry, Lord, as he's preaching that meeting and preaching the services, the Jubilee meeting there. Brother Hazel, bless that church, bless those in attendance. Pray that you'll just use our pastor, that arm of our church that's down there, knowing it, whatever happens goes on the account of Rogersville Baptist Temple. Souls that saved, lives that are changed, hearts that saints that come back to the Lord, those that gets right with God, that's going on the account of Rogersville Baptist Temple. And I thank you for a man of God that, Father, you've got your hand on right now. Father, I pray for him. Pray that you'll help him. Bless this church tonight. Bless this service. Pray that you'll just let the message speak to our hearts. We praise you and thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. And amen. I pray that you'll listen to me tonight. I know a lot of the homes tonight are still struggling, and we're always going to go through that. And we're coming along with our home, but I know there's some families that's going through it. And if you it's like it's always said, you're either going in a storm, you're in a storm, you're coming out of one, and that's going to be our cycle, our whole life. I mean, it's just the way it's going to be. That's the way the Christian life is. And it's our prayer tonight that God will help us. But I want to draw your attention first of all, set you to what I'm going to deal with tonight. But the first four words of verse number 6, Philippians 4, 6, the Bible says, "Be careful for nothing." Be careful for nothing. Several years ago, probably in the 80s, maybe the first of the 90s, but there was a statement coming out, and I don't want to get your mind carnal song, a worldly song. There was a statement to come out, don't worry, be happy. I want to preach on that tonight. Don't worry, be happy. That's the reason, Brother Jeremy, it's very fitting when I found out that I'm sure encouragement is needed tonight, probably not only to him, but others. And I wish, you know, Brother Jacob and some of the others could be here tonight, but I pray that you'll listen. And I know our family with Aunt Blanche and our hearts be touched tonight. Don't worry, be happy. Now, automatically, I know some of you's already singing that little chorus. You've heard it, I've heard it. But I want you to really concentrate tonight on don't worry, be happy. This word worry, first of all, I just want to start with worry's a sin. Worry's a sin. Now, can we pray? We need the altar now because I'm a very big worry wart. But be careful for nothing. Don't worry. Be happy. This word worry means to strangle. And the preacher's mentioned it before, and I think several years ago, I think even maybe before we came here, but he preached on the wolf of worry. I guess I'm right there on that. I know he's mentioned it. It's like that wolf. The wolf, and I wish I'd done some more research on this, but that wolf will strangle the victims. And that's what worry will do to each and every one of us. And you know it does. Because when you start worrying, you start wringing your hands, wondering how you're going to pay the next bills, wondering what's going to happen in our physical bodies, we start worrying. It almost like it strangles the life out of us. We don't know which direction we're going to go in. We don't know which direction we're going to take. Now you're going to see that all this that we've been listening to all in Acts chapter 16 that we preached, Brother Barry preached, Brother Buster, all this is still tying in together. God is trying to tell our church something. But a worry means to strangle. This word, be careful, and this word, to be anxious, means to be torn apart. Don't you feel like your life sometimes gets torn apart? In families, they seem like they get torn apart. They get strangled to death. But in this word, worry, we're going to find tonight is we're going to tie the mind and the heart together. And they're having a tug of war going on in your mind and in your heart. And many in job situations or maybe in financial and physical needs, your mind's going haywire, it's having a tug of war, your heart's having a tug of war, it's going crazy, it's going nuts. But what causes worry? Wrong thinking about problems, wrong thinking about people, and wrong thinking about possessions. Chapter number 1. Just kind of give you a little summary of these chapters. In chapter number 1, this whole book theme is about joy. And we've heard that lately. About joy and rejoicing and how to be glad in circumstances and knowing what the Apostle Paul, that great writer of the book of Philippians, back to the church at Philippi and what all he went through. And how in the world that he could go through all of this. And there in verse 13, so that my bonds in Christ are manifested. You know, and you know how God is using this in his life. How God uses circumstances, those dark times, those hard times, those worrisome times that we shouldn't even have in our minds and in our heart. But in Philippians chapter number 1, it talks about how we can have victory over our problems. And if you read it and you study it and you go into it, you can see that we in chapter number 1, you have victory over your problems. In chapter number 2, you can have joy. You can have victory over people. And it talks a big part about humility. And how Christ, there in verse number 5 of chapter number 2, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, took upon him the form of a serpent, was made likeness of man, and being found in fashion as man, he humbled himself. Our Christ being our example, he humbled himself. And if you're going to deal with people, many times you're going to have to be humbled. Many times the humility is going to play a bigger part in getting victory over people. Chapter number 1, victory and joy over problems. Chapter number 2, victory and joy over people. Chapter number 3, victory and a joy over possessions. And in chapter number 4, we can tie all of chapter 4 in being about the peace of God and learning peace. And it basically just ties all together, the whole book of Philippians. And I know Brother Barry's went through the book of Philippians. I think even Brother Mark's got his book of Philippians outlined and probably ready to teach it one of these days. But in chapter number 4 and verse number 6, the Bible says, be careful for nothing. Don't worry. And again, here I am standing before you about 2 or 3 weeks later, preaching again, saying not to worry. It's not as bad as it seems. You can have, even in your dark times, you can have hallelujah times. You can have turn your burdens into blessings. Those defeated moments. Those times of discouragement. Those times of disappointment. Hey, they can be delivered. I'm standing before you again telling you not to worry. It's still not as bad as it seems. And I'm still a living example. It wasn't as bad as it seemed. Praise God for my little check I got this afternoon. And I will not go into detail on that one. If you want to know, you can ask me. Praise God, $41. I wasn't in the hole. Amen. All right. Be careful for nothing. It wasn't as bad as it seemed. Be careful for nothing. Don't worry. Go with me to Matthew chapter number 6. Brother Mark spent 3 or 4 weeks on this great chapter, and I want to read it to you. But in verse number 6 of Philippians, it said, be careful for nothing, but in everything. In everything. If I was to give you a definition of in everything, it means in everything. In all things. I didn't leave nothing out. I can't go here and say, okay, in your financial difficulties, in your physical conditions, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. But look in Matthew chapter number 6. Let these verses bless your heart. Therefore I say unto you in verse number 25, look at it, read it with me. Therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what you shall eat or what you shall drink, nor yet for your body, what you shall put on. Is not the life more than meat, and the body than raiment? Behold the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns. But look at this, yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are you not much better than they? Thank God if He could take care of the fowls of the air, the birds of the air, the fish in the sea. How much more is my heavenly Father that loves me and cares for me? Ain't I much better than they are? How much better am I than they are? Which of you by taking thought can add one cubit unto his stature? Why take your thoughts for raiment? If He cares about those lilies in the field that make them grow, how much better am I to them? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They toil not, neither do they spin. And yet I say unto you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Look you here, wherefore if God so clothed the grass of the field, which today is, tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall He not much more clothe you? I thank God for food. I thank God for clothing. I thank God for shelter. I thank God for friends. I thank God for the Word of God. Oh, ye of little faith. Boy, imagine him throwing that one in there. I guess he thought by the time he said all that, Jesus speaking red letters, I guess time he thought that he said that, he might ought to throw in, oh, ye of little faith. Just want to remind you what the Word of God is telling you. O ye of little faith, therefore take no thought, saying, what shall we eat? Oh, have you ever been in a situation like that? One, where your next meal's coming from? Or what you going to drink? Wherewithal shall you be clothed? For all these things did the Gentiles seek, are in parentheses, for your heavenly Father knoweth. That right there ought to bless each and every one of us. That our heavenly Father knows. He knows. He knows. I heard the story one time about this truck driver is driving down the road, having some battles. I mean, really going through some storms, hard time, and depressed, and just really having a rough time. Well, he stops into a church, and they go through the service, and he goes to, just listen to the singing, listen to the preaching, and as he walked out, the pastor shook his hand, and he only said two words. He knows. That God sent that truck driver just by that church that night as he went out the door. And that pastor just looked at him and said, he knows. Boy, don't you like that? When all of a sudden, in those dark times, those trying times, they just, maybe a couple words. He knows. He knows what you're going through. But look at her in verse number 32. For your heavenly Father knoweth that you have need of all these things. There in verse 33, to seek ye first the kingdom of God. That's the key right there. Seeking God first. And then look what happens. If you'll seek God first, His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Take therefore no thought for tomorrow, for the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. Don't worry. Don't worry about tomorrow. I'm glad I know who holds tomorrow. I'm glad God's already in the tomorrow. I'm glad He's already in our future. He knows exactly which direction He's taking us. When He says, I will lead the blind in a way that they don't know. Those dark times, He's going to make light to them. I'm glad. I'm saying tonight, don't worry. Be happy. Amen. I want you to look at verse number 6. I'm going to give you some things that I hope that will help you. How to not to worry and how to be happy. You can be happy in praying. Looking at verse number 6. Don't worry. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. In your praying, you could be happy and not to worry. That right praying. And we know, this church knows for a fact that God answers prayers. God still answers prayers. And I truly believe at the first of this week, God answered prayers concerning my Aunt Blanche. One of our members right here, I truly believe God answered many of our prayers. And God helped. And she's doing good right now. But hey, she's in God's hands. I'm glad of that. And, we had to be reminded of that Monday night. She's in God's hands. Praying, that right prayer, praying. Look at these three words, prayer, supplication, and thanksgiving. Let me give you a little outline for that. Look at this word prayer. When you look at this word prayer, that has to do with our adoration. That worshiping. Look at the adoration. There's times that I think many times we just need to go to God just to worship. Saying, God, I'm not here to ask for nothing. I'm not here to beg you for anything. I just want to bow down here and say, thank you. Praise you. You've been good to this old boy. But prayer. I want to remind you, don't worry. Be happy. Look at this word supplication. That's where that true, earnest desire that comes from the heart. That effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. That really getting a hold of him. Prayer. Because it says, let your requests be made known unto God. He wants you to talk to Him. He wants you to know what you're... He knows what you're in need of even before you ask. But He wants you to know what you're in need of. But prayer and supplication, thanksgiving, that's it. Again, that ties in appreciation. Boy, right praying will help you not to worry. Because how many times, and I'd raise my hand, I'd be the first to admit the times that I worried and worried. It may be the last thing I end up doing. But God will help me more in prayer. God will help me more by reading the Word of God. God will help me more by attending the house of God. It'll help me not to worry. Oh yeah, my problem's still out them doors. Here after a while, we walk through the double doors. Yeah, the problems are going to still be there. The economy still ain't going to get no better. You know that. Get your head out of the sand if you think maybe it's going to help when, if a, you know, a Democrat or Republican or somebody else gets in the White House. It's not. You take the Word of God and tell me how it's going to end up. It waxes worse and worse. The bottom's going to fall out. We all may lose our jobs. Boy, it's depressing, ain't it? Don't be worried. Be happy. Well, I need to be reminded of that too. Xavier, need to give place to the devil. Don't worry. Be happy. Well, who's in control of worry? He just read the devil and his demons and the old flesh and the world. They want you to think that. They want to give you every kind of pill. They want to give you every kind of alcoholic beverage. They want to give you everything. Drugs and meth and cocaine and crack. They want to give you everything. But they won't give you the Word of God. They won't give you a time on your knees to prayer. They won't give you nothing like that. But the right kind of praying will help you not to worry. You know, care, this word care, that's problems. That's that anxiety. That's that worry. You know, care and prayer are big opponents. If you're worried about something and prayer, hey, they'll butt heads. You want to know how to defeat worry? You want to know how to defeat the bad times? You want to know how to defeat prayer. The right kind of praying help you not to worry. Through prayer, it ties in. Look at verse number 6. Be careful for nothing but at everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. Let your requests be made known to God. Verse number 7. I want to really drive this verse home to us tonight. And let the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. There's a peace with God and there's a peace of God. And I feel like I've got to tell this difference right here. In John chapter number 14, if you're taking notes, in John chapter number 14, God said in verse number 27, He said peace. Let me go back. Verse number 26 says, But the Comforter, which is the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, He shall teach you all things. That's where He's promising He'll give you a comforter. That's where He promises He'll give you the Holy Spirit, those who get saved. He shall teach you in all things. Bring all things to your remembrance. Whatsoever I have said unto you. Look at verse number 7. It said, Peace I leave with you. My peace I give you. Not as the world giveth. Oh yeah, you remember when I raved over what the world will give you? Those drugs, those alcohols, those sorry times. He said, but look, oh, what a contract our Savior, the Spirit of Christ will give you. My peace I give unto you, not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Look here, let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. God's still trying to help us. Yes. I have fell in love with that statement. It's not as bad as it seems. What you're going through, it's not as bad as it seems. But the right kind of praying. But look at peace, the peace with God. In Romans 5:1, it talks about that peace with God. The peace with God comes at the moment of salvation. You get that peace with God. You're not an enemy of God anymore. If you're here and you're not being saved, you're not ever asked Jesus Christ to come into your heart. You don't have that peace. You're at odds with God right now. You're an enemy of God. But once you bow on that face to the ground and say, Jesus, I'm a sinner. I need You to save me. Come into my heart. I accept You. I believe You. And all of a sudden, peace kicks in. And you get peace with God. Peace with God comes at the point of salvation. But look in our text verse here in verse number 17. And the peace of God. I firmly believe it comes at submission. Peace with God at salvation. The peace of God at submission. You submit your heart. You submit your mind. You submit your life. God's going to give peace. The Christian life. When you've got the wrong kind of praying, the wrong kind of thinking, wrong kind of attitudes in your heart, God can't give that peace. He wants to give peace when you're right with Him. Maybe right now you've got a disturbed peace in your life. Ask yourself, am I right with Him? Or it might be you're having troubles and trials and you want, but God can give peace. He wants to give peace through that. Peace, peace, wonderful peace coming down from the Father above. Only the Spirit of Christ can give that peace. It's a peace that the world can't give you. But the peace with God comes in salvation. The peace of God comes in submission. The peace with God is a result from faith in Christ. Let me slow down and give that to you. The peace with God is a result from faith in God. The peace of God is a result in focusing on Christ. Get your mind on Him. Get your eyes on Him. Get your guards up. But be reminded Jesus is still there. Peace with God depends on faith. The peace of God depends on prayer. You can have... I may say this a couple of times. I want you to get this statement. Man, I read this statement as a blessing. And it's the truth. You can have peace with God without the peace of God. How many times you're at odds with God, wrong kind of thinking, wrong kind of praying, you know, hey, that peace of God, there's no peace there. But I know I've got peace with God because I've been saved, I've been born again, I'm not an enemy of Him, I've got peace with Him. But I can have peace with God without the peace of God. But you cannot, no way, Jose, you cannot have peace of God without the peace with God. Can't do it. When I read that statement, I wrote that down and said, I've got to give it. I've got to give that. Maybe you've heard that before. But the right kind of praying. Look at verse number 8. Now, I'm not going to dwell on the rest of this as much because, boy, we can have peace during our storms. Boy, we can have peace in the trying times. But I want you to look at verse number 8. The right kind of pondering. Not only the right kind of praying, the pondering. That's that thought. That has to deal with that mind, that right thinking. He reminds us not only be careful for nothing. Have I told you lately, don't worry, be happy? Be careful for nothing but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. Have the right kind of praying. Let your requests be made known unto God. He wants you to tell Him. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding. We're not going to understand many times why God puts us in situation. That divine appointment, which the preacher's been talking about lately, why Paul and Silas were put in that jail that night. We're not going to always understand why God allows us to go through storms. We're not going to understand why God would allow in our life or lose our jobs or why our physical makeup would break down and why heart attacks and why cancer and all this. We're not going to understand. But I'm glad through these trying times, I'm glad through these misunderstanding times that God could still give peace, which passes all understanding. It passes it all. You give me a storm, but peace of God is greater. You give me a trial, the peace of God is always greater. Oh, I've got to give this verse, Colossians chapter number 3. It goes right along with it. Colossians chapter number 3 and verse 15. Let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which also you call in one body, and be ye thankful. Let the peace of God rule. Decision time, just ask for God to give you peace about it. If you've got something you've been praying about, just let the peace of God. The peace of God, you'll never go wrong when God gives you peace. You felt those times you got a disturbed peace. oh, there's times it may be a decision, and me and Donna will be talking about it, and she'll even say, well, do you have peace about it? And, you know, I say, not really, or I say, yeah, I've got peace. Feel like this is the direction we go. Or vice versa. Got peace about it? Well, yeah, okay. But the peace of God, which passes all understanding, let the peace of God rule in your heart. Back to Philippians chapter number 4. That right kind of praying, the right kind of pondering, that deals with the mind. Some of my favorite scriptures is in Isaiah 26. Let me give it to you. Isaiah 26, 3 and 4. Many times, you know, Brother Buster mentioned the other night, many times he'll sign his Bible. But a lot of times, if you know, a kid or somebody really don't know nothing, come up and want me to sign their Bible. I don't understand, but, you know, God called me to preach, so I'll sign that Bible. But I'll put Isaiah 26, 3 and 4. Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee. For he trusteth in thee. Trust ye in the Lord forever. For in the Lord, Jehovah is everlasting strength. You want strength tonight? You want peace? It'll only come when you keep your mind on the Lord. Keep him trusting in Him, the Lord Jehovah. There in Isaiah 26, 3 and 4, one of my favorite scriptures. But I want you to look at verse number 8. That right kind of thinking, the right kind of praying, the right kind of pondering, thinking. Look at verse number 8. Let me quickly give you these. I don't want to bore you with a bunch of definitions, and I promise I could give them to you if you want them. But finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, resting on reality and aiming at reality, that truthfulness, that true, anything that's true, always, always whatsoever things are truthful, whatsoever things are true in your life, whatsoever things are honest, whatever's honorable, worthy of reverence. He's trying to get you. He was trying to get the book of these people in Philippians, trying to get them to think on true things. Think on honorable things. Looking at this next word, just. Think on those right relations. That's what just is. The right relations between man and man and God. Whatever's just. Look at pure. Whatsoever things are pure. Stainless. Pure. We all know what pure means. Without blemish. Whatsoever things are lovely. This word lovely means lovable, enduring, charming. They're very pleasing. He's trying to mind us to think on these things. And I know what Brother Matt's thinking right now. I'm thinking on Shannon. I'm thinking on... And I do that myself. That's right, wasn't I? Think on lovely things. I think of my wife. Lovable. Enduring, charming, pleasing. Hallelujah. Think anything. I was being honest. Whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report. Good report means fair speaking. If there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. He gives you a list of things to think about. I mean, if you're thinking of wrong things, get to Romans chapter number 8, and he's trying to tell you what to think about. The world's got your mind cloudy. Dark times got your mind cloudy. Start thinking on these things. Think about your husband. Think about your wife. It fits there. Think about good times. Think about God. Think about His blessings. He's already blessed you with. Lady we know is very familiar with this church, but I won't mention her name, but she wrote a couple of emails here lately to Donna. And the encouragement Donna has gotten from this dear lady. Just in one statement she said, and I've said this, and we all should have said it, if God never blesses us again, He's already blessed us enough that we could still, Brother Jeremy, lift our hand and say, thank the Lord. Bless His name. I stand today. I don't deserve another blessing, Miss Debbie. I really don't. But if He never does it, I have to steal in what He has done. Blessed us. The right kind of praying, the right kind of pondering. the right kind of practicing, that right living. That's where that heart fits in. Those things, verse number 9, those things which ye have both learned and received and heard and seen in me do, the God of peace shall be with you. You want peace tonight? You want to overcome worry? I believe you'll find it right there in four or five verses. Now I'll give you other scriptures where you can find peace. Don't worry, be happy. Turn with me just for a little while, and I promise I'm about done. I hope I can be a preacher when I say I'm about done, that I'll keep my word. But in James chapter number 4, I am truly about done. We looked at the right kind of preaching. The right kind of thinking, praying, pondering, practicing. Because Apostle Paul, there in Corinthians, talked to the Corinthians and said, "Be ye followers of me as I am of Christ." We can learn from the Word of God. We can practice the Word of God. But the right kind of praying, the right kind of pondering, the right kind of practicing, that right living, that heart. But I want to take you to James chapter number 4, and I want you to see the wrong kind of praying, the wrong kind of pondering, and the wrong kind of practicing. Look at verse number 2 and 3. I'm going to begin verse number 1. Verse number 1 through 11 is a tremendous scripture. Verse number 1 in verse chapter 4. From whence comes wars and fightings among you? Come they not hence, even of your lust, that war in your members? Ye lust and have not. Ye kill and desire to have. Ye cannot obtain. Ye fight in war. Yet ye have not. Because ye ask not. Ye ask and receive not because ye ask amiss, that ye may consume it upon your lust. On lust. Here's your wrong kind of praying. You have not because ye ask not. And a lady quoted that scripture to Donna here just not a long time ago. And that statement has affected her, and it's starting to really affect me. Hey, you want your prayers answered? You got to pray. If you want to receive it, you got to ask for it. You have not because you ask not. Duh. The wrong kind of praying. If you're not asking, if you're not praying, how are you going to get your prayers answered? Or it might be that your heart's not right. Maybe that's that ulterior motive. I'm just going to leave that other word off. What's your motive? Man, I've got that word in my mind. I can't get it out. You have not because you ask not. You ask and receive not because you ask amiss. You're not right in praying. That's the wrong praying. Hey, are you still worrying? Maybe you're not praying right. Or maybe you're not praying at all. God will help you. But you got to want it. The wrong kind of praying. Look at this. Verse number 4. Ye adulterers and adulteresses, know ye not the friendship of the world is the enmity with God. Whosoever therefore will be a friend of the world is the enemy of God. Let me give you this. Not only the wrong kind of praying, but the wrong kind of practicing. Who are you yoking up with? Whosoever therefore will be a friend of the world is the enemy of God. Who are you yoking up with? Wrong kind of praying. Wrong kind of practicing. Look down at verse number 8. You could start at verse number 6, but he giveth more grace. Wherefore he said, God resists the proud, but giveth grace to the humble. Submit yourself therefore to God. Resist the devil, and he'll flee from you. Draw nigh to God, he'll draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners. Purify your hearts, you double-minded. Be afflicted and mourn on down, down, down. Humble yourself in the sight of the Lord. He shall lift you up. Speak not evil one of another. That wrong kind of pondering, that wrong kind of thinking. What are you thinking about? Won't you just submit to Him? I done said earlier, that's how to get the peace of God, just in submission, total submission to Him. Don't worry. Be happy. The heart, the mind, and the heart goes together. In that verse, peace of God, which passes all understanding, should keep your hearts and minds through Jesus Christ. What are you worrying about tonight? I know, you know, maybe there's somebody is tonight. I don't know. But a great verse, I want to end it reading this verse, Psalms 139. And many times I've had to pray this. Because if I won't get any answers, you know, maybe asking amiss, like James says. In Psalms 139, in verse number 23, the Bible tells us, "Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me, and know my thoughts." God knows the heart. God knows the mind. Don't worry. Be happy. The recipe: have the right kind of praying, have the right kind of pondering the thoughts, and the right kind of practicing. Father, as we come to you in prayer, thank you, Lord Jesus, for the Word of God. Lord, you've helped my heart again, not only through the studies and just pinning things down, but Lord, you've helped my heart again tonight. And it's so easy to preach, but it's harder to practice. Father, you're still trying to tell RBT something. And Lord, I'm amazed at just listening to prayer requests and the request that's come through for many of our families. We could see now why messages are starting to come like this frequent. Because families, they're still coming in that are going through some of the hardest times in their life. And I pray for them. And several of these prayed for me and my family in my trying times, in our trying days. Father, help us. We realize tonight worries of sin. But Lord, it's that statement that I read. Christian joy doesn't come from freedoms, from problems. But real Christian joy comes in spite of our problems. Father, help us tonight. We pray in the lovely name of Jesus. Amen and amen.